afternoon, and welcome to iWolfs, the owner-friendly and dog-friendly dog training show hosted by Dr. Ian Dunbar. iWolfs is proudly sponsored by Premier Pet Products and the Kong Company. In this hour, Dr. Dunbar will help you understand dog training from the dog's point of view. Now here's your host, Dr. Dunbar.
Hi, this is Dr. Dunbar's iWolfs, the owner-friendly and dog-friendly dog training show to help you understand dog training from the dog's point of view and to learn what you can learn from your dog. So it's hello from me, Dr. Ian Dunbar. Hello from Dune. Hello from Claude. And hello from Ollie. Topic for today is Home Alone. If puppies and dogs are not house-trained and chew toy trained during the first couple of weeks at home, then they're likely to be confined to a single room, or some are ostracized to the backyard. Well, of course, they're going to develop additional forms of occupational therapy to pass the time of day when they're left at home alone. The dog will learn to become an indiscriminate eliminator, will chew anything and everything. And also the dog will take up digging or barking as newfound hobbies. And soon, of course, the neighbors are likely to complain about the dog's barking. And so the dog is further confined to a basement or a garage, which obviously he destroys. The poor dog is no longer a companion, instead an uneducated animal with many behavior problems confined to a basement, but sadly probably not for long. Soon the dog will be surrendered to a shelter and confined to an even smaller cage. Maybe out of sheer boredom in solitary confinement, some dogs may escape from the backyard to explore the world beyond. Free-roaming dogs, though, have decreased life expectancies. It's a jungle out there. Should the free-roaming dog survive the perils of unsupervised street access, they're generally caught by animal control and make a premature shelter visit. I think there's something really wrong with this picture. New puppies and dogs require management, supervision, and education. They need to be taught household rules so that they do not upset their human hosts. But above all, I think, they need to be taught how to appropriately amuse themselves and enjoy their time when left at home alone. It's a simple fact of life that most pet dogs will be left at home alone sometime in their life. For some, it's occasionally that they're lucky to live with owners that work at home. And for those, it's actually harder on them because they're used to having the owners around, that when the owner does occasionally leave to run on an errand where she can't take a dog, then the dog reacts. It takes it even harder. Other dogs, though, spend most of the day at home. And the owner works and the dog spends his day at home. And hopefully the owner has taught the dog how to amuse himself. I once remember a question I had asked in a lecture. This was years ago. Boy, this is in the early 80s. And the person who asked the question was actually the director of a national humane organization. And it actually, like most questions, it's difficult for owners to ask questions. If they ask questions, the solutions would be really evident. Like if they said, how can I train my dog to chew a chew toy? The answer's pretty obvious. I mean, it won't take long to come up with a variety of ways to do it. Instead, most questions are presented as a statement. And this gentleman, he put his hand up in a lecture, and he said, my dog eats through the basement walls. And a lot of people here, you know, would take this at face value and say, oh, the dog's eating through the basement walls, that's bad. How do we stop it? Maybe we spray something nasty tasting on the basement walls. But it's missing the point here. The point is, of course, what is the dog doing in the basement? Firstly, I said to him, I said, is this a golden retriever? And he said, well, actually, it's a golden retriever mix. How do you know that? And I said, well, I've been doing this for a while, that, yeah, a lot of golden retrievers eat through. They love just plasterboard. You know, you lick it and it bubbles, then you nibble it with your incisors, then you start eating it until you can get your whole head through, and that's what they do. But the question I asked him, I said, I want to ask you, what is your dog doing in the basement? And he said, what do you mean? I said, what is the dog doing in your basement? And he said, the neighbors complained. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, the neighbors complained when I left the dog in my yard. And so I'm thinking this out, and, you know, of course, most people think, well, he's got pretty crummy neighbors who don't like seeing a dog. But no, the question to ask is, why did your neighbors complain? And, of course, the neighbors complained that the dog was barking. So now we've got a big problem. We've got a basement wall eater and a yard barker. We've got two problems that we got to work with. And a lot of people who are new to this would start giving the owner, here's what you do in the basement. You give the dog Kongs in the basement, and you give the dog, you know, a football stuffed with food so he chews it. And, you know, he's got entertainment. And same in the yard. They need chew toys out there too. And all sorts of advice. But we're missing the real question to ask. What's the dog doing in the yard? So the owner's at work, we know that. What's the dog doing in the yard? And the interesting thing about this guy, before we started this questioning process, I asked him, I said, why did you get a dog? And he said, oh, for companionship and protection. He says, companionship, we like dogs, my wife and I, we like a dog to be around. And protection, I travel a lot, my wife's on her own, she feels more secure with a dog there. So I asked him, I said, well, do you have any really expensive trees or shrubs in the backyard? And he says, what do you mean? And I said, well, you said you got your dog for protection. I was wondering whether your dog was protecting a shrub in the backyard, or whether your dog was keeping a tree, you know, company or something like that. And at this point, I pushed him a little too far, and he started to take a little offense, thought I was making fun of him. But I said, no, the question is, why is your dog in the backyard? If you got your dog for companionship and protection, why isn't it indoors? And because you know the solution. The dog is not house-trained. The dog is not chew-toy-trained. And that's what sets, you know, this whole thing going. That the dog basically is progressively defined. The dog is given just full run of the house at the beginning. Unsupervised access, it makes a mistake. The mistakes become established as habits. The dog pees and poops and chews indoors, so we're ostracized to the backyard, where we dig, where we bark, where we escape. Neighbors complain of the barking, so into the garage or basement, which the dog destroys because he has no training. And maybe that's a temporary stop before the dog is then surrendered to the shelter. So we have to get back to this whole thing of what do dogs do when the owners are not there. And I think the first question to ask, everyone is familiar with the term separation anxiety. And I think first we should question this. Is the dog really anxious when left at home alone, or is the dog simply untrained and has never been taught how to act when left at home alone? And I would say in some cases, yes, I think the dog is truly anxious and we must do something about this. And it really upsets me when people will use this term and say, oh, the dog has separation anxiety, yet they do nothing to alleviate the dog's anxiety. And you know, anxiety isn't fun. It's pretty miserable. It's uncomfortable feeling anxious. It impedes, you know, normal function. And so in addition to paying attention to the presenting behavior problem, the barking, the escaping, the house soiling or what have you, we have to have some kind of confidence boosting program, something that alleviates stress and anxiety. Even so, I would say the first item on the agenda is, let's just resolve the observable problem. So let's ask, how is the dog expressing his anxiety? Well, he expresses his anxiety by, you know, chewing and digging and barking. He expresses his anxiety by pacing back and forth. excessive barking, destructive chewing, self-mutilation. He's gnawing on his paws. He's chewing at the base of his tail. And then this becomes a self-perpetuating behavior. Increased urination, increased defecation. And certainly all these behaviors could be signs of stress. Alternatively, over the years, they've been classified as neurosis, stereotypical behaviors, more recently as obsessive compulsive disorders. Neurosis is basically a normal behavior, but now occurs at a frequency that serves no useful purpose and now actually prevents normal functioning. And a stereotypical behavior is just the same behavior repeated over and over and over and over again in kind of an obsessive fashion. They're all pretty much the same thing. And the dangerous thing about them is all these behaviors are self-reinforcing and self-perpetuating. The repetitive and stereotype behaviors produce endorphins. These are kind of like a morphine-type drug that the body manufactures. And so these repetitive behaviors are going to get the dog more worked up. The stereotypical behaviors lead to stress, and then the stress leads to stereotypical behavior. We have to prevent this vicious circle. That I think we got to resolve the obvious behavior problem right away, because immediately this is going to relieve the owner's frustrations, and this is really big. That we don't want the owner now getting upset with the dog when they return. It's bad enough that the dog is upset when the owner's not there. We don't want the dog upset when the owner is there. And also, by resolving the obvious, you know, the presenting problems, it's going to do a lot to relieve the dog's stress, because it's going to break the vicious circle. So I think we have to actively think about how are we going to teach the dog to be calmer? How are we going to teach the dog to be quieter? And most importantly, how are we going to teach the dog to enjoy the time spent at home alone? And I think we do this whether we think the dog is anxious or not. I think the diagnosis of whether or not the dog is anxious will become clear as we proceed, you know, with the behavior mod process. So we've got to teach the dog to settle down. Well, as always, you know, training has to start when you are at home. You can't train a dog when you're not there. You can manage things and make it easier for the dog, but you train a dog when you're there. So first, let's check we can teach this dog to settle down when we are at home. And I like to do it like a jazz-up, settle-down process, where get the owner, rouse your dog up, let him go crazy, woo-woo-woo, jump in the air, now settle him down. Now jazz him up, settle him down. Jazz him up, settle him down. I just want to know that you can say, on your bed, settle down. We can give these instructions to the dog. Also, we really have to focus on this barking thing. Very few people address that. And the only way you're going to get a dog to be quieter is good management, give stuffed chew toys, or you're going to teach him woof and shush. But this is, it's a huge problem, not just for the dog, for the owner, but also for the neighbors. And we have to make sure that we can get the dog to shush. And so again, first I like to check that the owner can actually woof and shush the dog when they are there. Can they get the dog to speak on cue? And can they get the dog to be quiet on cue? Well, I think now it's time for me to be quiet again for a couple of minutes while we have a couple of messages. So I'll be back.
Hello, this is Dr. Ian Dunbar. As a veterinarian and animal behaviorist, people often ask me which toy is best suited for their canine companion. Without hesitation, I have recommended the durable and versatile Classic Kong toy. The Kong toy is known as the original canine treat and food dispenser. Simply stuff a Kong toy with any healthy dog food or treat, and you have the perfect training tool. A foodstuffed Kong toy will stimulate your dog mentally, reduce frustration and anxiety, and ensure your dog is chewing on something other than your sofa. Find quality Kong products at pet stores everywhere. Your dog will love you for it.
Want to keep your dog busy with good things to chew? Premier's Busy Buddy treat-holding toys are the answer. Each one is designed to hold a different type of treat, providing hours of entertainment. Squirrel Dude features the patented treat meter, randomly dispensing kibble as your dog plays. The Big Kahuna Football includes the patented treat trapper, ideal for hard biscuits and intense chewing pleasure. Ask for Busy Buddy at your local pet store, veterinarian, or trainer, and be sure to check out all the other great Busy Buddy buddy toys, including Waggle, Bouncy Bone, Tug-a-Jug, and more at Premier.com.
Welcome back to iWolves with veterinarian and animal behaviorist Dr. Ian Dunbar, the pioneer of lure, reward, fun and games, dog-friendly dog training. Now back to the show.
Hi, this is Dr. Ian Dunbar, and we're back with iWolves. Before the break, we were talking about that whether the dog is anxious or not. I think the first thing we got to do is to address the presenting problems. And if the dog is too active, we got to teach him to be calmer. If the dog is noisy, we got to teach him to be quieter. And this is going to break that vicious circle. This is one of the most difficult things with stereotypical behaviors, that as the dog misbehaves, it increases the stress level. It gets the dog worked up and amped up, and then that increases the misbehavior. Especially when we're dealing with a single stereotypical behavior like pacing back and forth or barking or head pressing or staring at a blank wall and such things like this. One thing we should really address, and not many trainers do this, we have to check that we have barking under control when we're there. We simply have to teach this dog to woof and shush. We have to teach the dog to settle down. We got to check our downstays. We definitely need to revamp our house training and chew toy training program. That this dog is now making mistakes, peeing and pooping in the wrong place, chewing inappropriate objects. So we really go back to puppyhood, and it's a back to step one. Long-term or short-term confinement all the time. Stuffed chew toys always. Doggy toilet in the long confinement room, and give the dog a chance to eliminate once an hour if the owner is at home. But let's now focus a little on woof and shush, that a lot of people seem to have problems with teaching dogs to bark on command and shush on command. And it's strange, because it's really exactly the same training technique. We're going to use the same lure reward training technique. It's our 1-2-3-4 process. Number one, we're going to say shush. Number two, we're going to lure the dog to shush. Number three, the dog shushes. Number four, we reward the dog for shushing. And that's pretty much the science of dog training. I mean, you don't need to know too much more than that to be able to train your dog and modify its behavior. The art of dog training is, do you know what lure you're going to use so that you can predict that the dog is going to do it, so that you can request the dog to do it beforehand and then reward the dog to do it afterwards. Now, before we teach the dog to shush on command, let's just sit back and sort of rethink this a little. That I always talk about the best possible and worst possible training scenarios. And I remember giving a lecture once, and I was talking about teaching dogs to speak on cue and dealing with excessive barking. And this lecture was in Wisconsin, I remember that. At the end of the lecture, a lady comes up to me, and she says, right, 7 minutes, your schnauzers, down the yard, 3 a.m., and then she sort of nods her head at me, like, there, go on, there, impossible, right? I mean, this was not a polite question. It's like, okay, smarty pants, how do you deal with this? Well, I said to her, that's the worst possible training scenario. You're in bed, you're naked, you're asleep, you're tired, and you have seven dogs. They're miniature schnauzers, and they're all barking down the yard at goodness knows what, a possum or a raccoon. And that's a heavy-duty training scenario. In fact, we call it the worst possible training scenario. I said, let me check you and your dog on the best possible training scenario. And this was a workshop, and she had a miniature schnauzer. So I said, is this one of the dogs? And she said, yes. And I said, well, ask him to bark on cue. And she couldn't. So I said, well, you've got to have him to bark on cue before you can teach him to shush on cue, because you can't teach the dog to shush when he's worked up. I'll show you. And I asked someone to go over and bang on the door to the workshop room. So she went over and went bang, bang, bang. All the dogs went crazy. I said, tell your dog to shush. So she says, miniature schnauzer, shush. I mean, zero control. So that we call best possible training scenario. You're here, your dog's here. You know, you're not asleep. You're not naked. The dog's not down the bottom of the garden, not with six other dogs, but you can't get your dog to shush. So always let's start in the best possible training scenario. And the worst time to try and teach a dog to shush is if he's all worked up and barking. When is the best time to teach a dog to shush? When he doesn't want to bark or he isn't barking. Aha! But if he isn't barking, how can you teach him to shush? That's why you teach him to bark on cue, so that you can decide when to teach your dog shush. That you can then, you can go home, you can have a nice relaxing cup of tea, you can sit down, you can do a little meditation, and then you can say, okay dog, I'm going to teach you shush now. And your husband says, well, all right honey, but he's not barking. Aha, he soon will be because I've taught him to bark on cue. So you see what I mean? So by teaching the dog to bark on cue, it's very easy to teach shush because you can practice it any time you want. You can practice it at times which are really convenient for you. However, first, we've got to teach the dog to bark on cue. And this is where most owners' brains fuse. And so it's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, say speak, or whatever, you know, your cue is. 2, you lure the dog to speak. And 3, the dog goes woof, woof, woof. And 4, you reward the dog. So all we need is to come up with a lure. And it's difficult for most people to work this out, and we have to do it step by step. It's like a constraint on learning that we've now moved to a different cognitive domain. And so, you know, owners are not, they're not irresponsible. They're not stupid. They just haven't thought of it yet. And just as for me, in an equivalent situation, if you gave me anything to do on my computer, I mean, I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to absolutely screw up that in my cognitive domain for computers, I am really not very smart. Dogs come pretty easy to me. So we need to be patient when we explain this to owners. So 1, say speak. 2, we need a stimulus to act as a lure which will cause the dog to speak. What would be good? And they come up with the answer themselves. Oh, how about the doorbell? That's a good idea. Let's use the doorbell. So now we have a person outside. You say, Rover, speak. The person outside goes ding dong, ding dong. The dog goes woof, 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 woof. And you say, good dog, good woofs. And you give him a liver treat. Or you just praise him, let's say. And when the first time you do that, the dog thinks, this is fantastic. That's the first time she's ever said thank you for me barking. That's really, really nice of her, really considerate. And so you do it a number of times. We wait now, get the dog calmed down. Then, Rover, speak, ding dong, ding dong. Woo, 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 woo. Good dog, there's a good dog. After we've done this about half a dozen times, the dog now anticipates the doorbell ring. And when you say speak, he says, I've learnt this, very interesting. Every time she says, Rover, speak, the doorbell rings. I've got to work out how this is happening because I am a Doberman and I'm meant to be a guard dog. I'm meant to know these things. And so whenever you say, Rover, speak, the dog thinks, ah, doorbell, woo, 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 and now he barks before the doorbell rings. Now we don't need a lure to get him to bark. That the dog is basically barking when you say, Rover, speak. It's as if the instruction has become a verbal lure, if you like. So now the dog barks on cue. And you will practice this and try it out in different scenarios. Try it in a different room, try it down the garden, and what have you. If the doorbell's not a very good lure or convenient, I usually use just barking myself. I'll say, Rover, speak, and then I go, woo, 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 woo. And I get dogs to bark along with me, so that's how I do it. For most dogs, though, they're already barking at the doorbell, so this can be used to get them to bark on cue. Now we're going to teach the dog to woof on cue. In fact, it's so easy, we're going to do it at the same time. So we're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4 for woof on command, and 1, 2, 3, 4 for shush on command. So we're going to say, Rover, speak. Woo, 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 because we don't need to lure it now. And then we say, good dog, good bark, woo, woo. We're going to bark along with the dog. Then we say, Rover, shush. And we just put a little bit of freeze-dried liver in front of his nose and waggle it. The instant the dog sniffs that food, he will stop barking. And the sniff of the food rewards him for stopping barking. And we say, good boy, good shush, good shush. And we hold on to the food, good shush. Then eventually we give him the food. And then we repeat this sequence. Rover, woof, woo, 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 good dog, Rover, shush. Out comes the liver. And the reason why the liver works as a lure, you cannot bark and sniff at the same time. I mean, try it at home. Everyone now on the count of three bark. Go on, one, two, three. Woo, 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 woo. Now, everyone, on the count of three, I want you to take a long breath through your nose. One, two, three. Now, on the count of three, I want you to do both at exactly the same time. One, two, three. See, I can't hear anything. I don't hear anyone barking out there because you can't sniff and bark at the same time. So food is a wonderful lure to get dogs to stop barking. Now we go out in the garden, we practice this, we go out in the car, we get the dog to woof and shush, and we go for a long walk, and every 25 yards we say, Rover speak, Rover shush. Now the dog pretty much understands it so that we can use this to tell the dog at home when we're starting to train him, oh, shush, we want you to settle down with your chew toy and we want you to shush. Now we're ready to move into management, supervision, education. The same as the previous weeks for house training or chew toy training, total confinement, long-term confinement when you're away from home, short-term confinement when you're at home. And number two, all food in stuffed chew toys. I'm going to say this over and over again because people just don't do it. All food in stuffed chew toys. Put the dog's food bowl away until his anxiety problems are resolved. Confinement and stuffed chew toys will resolve this problem. I have done this over and over and over again with dogs that are simply untrained and those which are unbelievably anxious and on heavy-duty medications, which may have made the problem better but have not resolved it. This confinement system with all food in stuffed chew toys will resolve the problem. So please do it. Your dog is anxious. He's upset. So don't make excuses here. Well, I have to make an excuse now for a short break. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Thank you.
Do you want to keep your dog busy with good things to chew? Check out the newest products in Premier's Busy Buddy line. The Bouncy Bone combines rubber, durable nylon, and replaceable rawhide rings for extended playtime pleasure. Fill Tugger Jug with treats or kibble, and your dog will be regularly rewarded while playing fetch or tug or just rolling it around on his own. Ask for Busy Buddy at your local pet store, veterinarian, or trainer. And be sure to check out all the other great Busy Buddy toys, including Waggle, Twist and Treat, Squirrel Dude, and more at Premier.com.
Looking for the world's most versatile and durable dog toy? The Kong Company established the standard for dog toy performance and durability. The legendary red rubber Kong toy is recommended by the world's top veterinarians and dog trainers. A treat-stuffed Kong toy is the training tool of choice for addressing numerous behavioral challenges, including destructive chewing, excessive barking, and separation anxiety. Kong toys are available at pet stores worldwide. Get your Kong today. Your dog will love you for it.
Welcome back to iWolfs with veterinarian and animal behaviorist Dr. Ian Dunbar, the pioneer of lure, reward, fun and games, dog-friendly dog training. Now back to the show.
Hi, this is Dr. Ian Dunbar. Before the break, we were talking about confinement and all food and stuffed chew toys, and this will resolve the problem. I've done it so many times. If the dog's chewing his chew toy, he's not chewing inappropriate items, including self-mutilation. He's not chewing himself. He's being quiet. He's not barking or whining. And he's lying down. That's the biggie. He's not running around and fretting. And he's going to have a decrease in blood pressure and heart rate. And the heart rate is something that's pretty easy to check whenever you come home. Just check your dog's heart rate, and you'll get an idea of how stressed your dog is. In a sense, what we need to do if we have a dog that has a stereotypical behavior problem, an obsessive compulsive disorder, a neurosis, we need to redirect the dog's obsessive and compulsive behavior to an appropriate and acceptable outlet. Lying down calmly and quietly chewing chew toys. Then the endorphins that the dog is secreting, is manufacturing from this repetitive chewing behavior and the food will both reinforce the dog's calm, quiet demeanor. So this is basically the process. That when a dog has a stereotypical behavior like pacing or barking, then the endorphins reinforce that repetitive behavior. We are now going to redirect it to chewing chew toys, and a dog has to lie down to chew a chew toy properly. Now the endorphins and the food coming out of the chew toy are both going to reinforce the dog's calm, quiet demeanor. The speed of rehabilitation is pretty much diagnostic the dog's level of anxiety. Many dogs come round in 1 or 2 days. It's unbelievable. Most come round within 1 week. It's highly likely that these dogs were separating from separation anxiety, or highly likely that the dogs were anxious. Rather, they simply weren't trained how to behave appropriately when left at home alone. Anxious dogs usually takes 3 weeks or more for their behavior to change. They usually take 1 to 2 months for them to become normal and for them to be able to lie down calmly and quietly and happily chew on a chew toy when their owner is not there. Now, we're mentioning chew toys again, and I want to mention my specific favorite products. They come from our two show sponsors, from the Kong Company and from Premier Pet Products. We have the Kong and the Squirrel Dude. These are both beautiful for stuffing with kibble. Moistening kibble, freezing it, stuffing it in the Kong or the Squirrel Dude, freezing it, and you have a beautiful frozen toy the next day. Stuffable, Big Kahuna, or the football, brilliant for stuffing in little treats. So if the dog has now had his daily allotment of kibble, you may want to put in just a little bit of cheese, a little bit of freeze-dried liver, a little bit of chicken. So I really like the Stuffable, and the Big Kahuna, the black one, is brilliant for that. Now, I also like activity toys, the Cool Kong, that's the blue Kong with the rope, and the Tugger Jug. Tugger Jug, again, is brilliant for dispensing kibble. But it's an activity toy as well, and we can play tug of war for this because we want to get these dogs absolutely hooked on their chew toys. So I like to use a chew toy that I've played fetch with, I've played tug of war with, so already the dog has a big connection to this toy. And then we're going to stuff it with food, and the only way this dog is going to eat is food from chew toys. Now, a lot of you, I'm sure, are saying, yeah, but when my dog's anxious, she won't eat when left alone. Yeah, this is part of the problem. In fact, whether or not the dog will eat, it's one of the best tests for anxiety. And it's one of the best temperament tests that I tell veterinarians and groomers, veterinary technicians, people who have to put their hands on a dog, and they have to touch the dog. I tell them, check out the dog's feeling okay beforehand. And the way you do this is you just offer the dog a treat. Now, if the dog takes the treat, you're off and running. You then get the dog to sit, give another treat, come here, give a treat. And the dog says, wow, I love this vet tech. She's so cute. She's fantastic. I mean, you know, she just gives me treats. I mean, she's spoiling me to death. So the dog doesn't even want to bite her. What if the dog doesn't take the treat, though? Uh-oh, ding-dong, warning signs. Then you give the treat to the owner and ask them, offer the treat. Dog doesn't take it. So the dog won't take the treat from, say, the vet tech or from the owner. And we ask them, does your dog like food? Yeah, the dog's a pig, loves food. Well, it's not taking food, so something's upsetting it. What is it? It's probably the environment. Or the dog won't take the treat, say, from the vet, but it does take it from the owner. What do we suspect here? Well, there's something upsetting the dog and stressing it. Yep, it's the veterinarian or the groomer. So move very slowly with a dog like that. So the not eating of food is, yeah, that's a real sign of anxiety, and we got to do something about this. And I'm not going to be happy until that dog happily eats food when the owner is gone, because there's the proof to me that the dog is no longer anxious. Now, it could simply be that the owner has become over-dependent on the dog's presence. So the owner's presence is really important for eating food. Now, I've seen this many times where the owner will hand-feed the dog food or pre-chew food or warm it up and mix it and play with it to get the dog to eat. So when the owner's there, it's just a very important stimulus is missing. Or it could be that the dog is actually devastated by the owner's absence and they are anxious. Now, a lot of this stems from the Jekyll and Hyde nature of the dog's home environment. And ironically here, you know, allowing the dog unrestricted access to the owner, to yourself, when you're at home, it really sets the dog up to miss you all the more when you're away. And then, of course, your emotions exacerbate the problem even further, that you're upset about the dog. Of course you're upset about the dog. You know, it's obvious the dog is not happy here. And so when you come home, you give the dog oodles of love, you know, and you talk to it, oh, did you miss me when I'm gone? Give me a hug and what have you. And you really now accentuate the whole return. So, you know, one thing we have to do here, if we have a dog that's reacting to the owner's absence, whether, you know, due to lack of training or due to stress and anxiety, we really have to downplay the owner leaving and the owner returning. We have to make this a non-event in the dog's life, and instead we have to make the owner's absence a huge positive event in the dog's life. In order, though, to help the dog through his home alone problems and possible anxieties, we're going to have to practice a little tough love. And by tough love, I mean tough love for the owners. You know, the dogs are going to adapt to this very quickly. And if you follow these instructions, the dog will adapt to it even quicker. And from then on, the dog won't be stressed when you're gone. Obviously, the only way we can start is when we're home. You can't train a dog when you're gone. And so we have to start training when you're right at home with the dog. And we're going to go through a number of progressive training scenarios. So the first thing we're going to do is break up this Jekyll and Hyde nature of the dog's environment. And from now on, and here's the tough love part, the dog is going to be totally confined whether you're there or not. And this is only going to be a temporary measure. And I'll tell you, for most dogs, it won't be more than a few days or a week because they just simply weren't trained. And now they know how to behave appropriately when they're left at home alone. For anxious dogs, it really is worth the month or maybe 2 months that this takes because I tell you, just think if ever you get anxious, it's a living hell, and the dog goes through this every day. So let's just go through 2 months of tough love so we can get the dog over this so that he can enjoy the house that he's living in. He can enjoy the couch. He can watch the telly, watch BBC America, and just have a cool time. So stage one, the dog is only fed dinner from chew toys when confined to a crate when the owner is at home. When the owner's not at home, the dog is in his long-term confinement area. At first, the crate with the stuffed chew toys is right next to the owner. And until the dog eats from stuffed chew toys, we do this. So this is the only time the dog gets to eat. No food at any other time. Well, you can actually stuff the food into chew toys when the owner is gone, but it's unlikely that the dog will eat it. So when the owner's home, dog in the crate, stuffed chew toy in there, and crate right next to the owner, or owner right next to the crate. Once the dog eats from the chew toys, we now have the crate at some distance in the room. Or the owner may leave the room for 30 seconds here, a minute there, then in another room, then in the long-term confinement area. So now the dog is not in a crate, but he's in the long-term confinement area with food and stuffed chew toys. And the dog remains confined to his playroom when the owner is gone too. Once the dog has been happily eating from his chew toys, when he's confined to his playroom, we move to stage two. And the more time that the owner keeps the dog confined when they are at home, the quicker we'll make this transition. Stage two, the dog is only fed dinner from chew toys when confined to the playroom when the owner is not at home. So on the first day, you may want to do a series of short departures, that you leave for 5 minutes, you come back, leave for 10 minutes, you come back. You downplay the leaving, you downplay the returning. You totally ignore the dog when you leave, with the exception of saying, "Hey pup, here's a stuffed chew toy," then you leave. You come back, then you take it away. Simple as that. But the dog stays confined. That's really important, and you try your best to ignore it. We replace the old leaving cues with a new set of cues. Before you give your dog a stuffed toy, before you leave, you turn on some music. Some nice classical music or something. So music comes on, you give the dog the stuffed chew toy, then you leave. Eventually, the dog will start to eat from the chew toy when you're not there. That dogs do not starve themselves to death. And so at that point, when you now notice that the dog is eating from the chew toy during your short departures or when you're gone, now you still give the dog a stuffed chew toy when you leave. Turn the music on, give the stuffed chew toy, and the music is a relaxation cue. But the dog can now have full run of the house. And when you return, you take the stuffed chew toy away, but the dog may now interact with you as much as they like, because now the problem is solved. I would still, however, continue to have the dog only eat food from stuffed chew toys, never from a bowl. Well, it's that time again. It's time for a short break, so I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Kong Dog Toys are praised by owners and trainers alike for quality, versatility, and durability. The world's top veterinarians have recommended the original Kong toy for over 30 years. Kong has become the training tool of choice for addressing numerous behavioral challenges, including destructive chewing, excessive barking, and separation anxiety. The key to successful Kong training is to insert healthy dog food or treats into the Kong toy to entice your dog. Look no further than Kong's Stuff and Brand Dog Treats, perfectly designed to fit Kong toys. Available wherever pet supplies are sold. Your dog will love you for it.
Walk with me and put an end to frustrating leash pulling, lunging, and jumping forever. Premier's Gentle Leader Head Collar has been delivering immediate, gentle control for years and has long been the number one recommended head collar endorsed by vets and trainers. Dogs love it because the unique design doesn't choke and eliminates any pressure on their throat. Pet owners love the Gentle Leader because it allows them to enjoy comfortable walks and a more satisfying relationship with their pet. Want to join the millions of dog owners that have found the secret to stress-free walks? Ask about Gentle Leader at your vet, trainer, or pet retailer.
Welcome back to iWolves with veterinarian and animal behaviorist Dr. Ian Dunbar, the pioneer of lure, reward, fun and games, dog-friendly dog training. Now back to the show.
This is Dr. Ian Dunbar, and we're back with iWolves. Before the break, we were talking about how to deal with a dog with separation anxiety, and especially how to get a dog to eat from a chew toy when the owner's not there. And this is basically a three-step process. As I said before, it always works, so please try this. It's tough love, it's hard to do, but it's certainly worth it because the dog is anxious. It's now time for the dog's point of view. And this again is our little puppy grasshopper who's trying to learn his way in the world. And he's dealing with his wise friend, Theo the Akita. Theo, a wise Akita, I'm worried. What's worrying you, grasshopper? Well, as you know, I went to my new home during the holidays, and it was so much fun. The children played with me most of the day, and Mum and Dad would take me for long walks. But then, a couple of weeks ago, it all changed. Apparently, the kids went to school, and their parents went back to work. And since then, I've been all alone during the days. It's pretty scary, Theo, and I'm bored. I don't know what to do.
It must be very difficult, Grasshopper. You need to develop a hobby.
Well, I did that, Sensei. I started whittling the kitchen chair legs, but they were very angry. So now I just sit and mope.
Oh, Grasshopper, that's just too bad.
But the other day it got worse. In the afternoon, I heard their car pulling up outside and started barking out of joy. And when they came inside, I barked and barked and barked and barked to say hello. And then they joined in. It was so much fun. It was like, woof, woof, be quiet, woof, woof, be quiet, woof, woof, be quiet. I thought, well, it's a barking contest. I got so excited that I just peed on the floor. And then they put me outside for the whole evening. Theo, Sensei, I don't know what to do.
Poor grasshopper. You know, the very concept of this whole woof woof be quiet thing, it's like, you know, what are we actually trying to teach our dogs? You know, you'll never bark in this town again. I mean, again, it cracks me up when people, you know, tell me, my dog barks. It's like, my dog barks. They're so surprised by this. you know, hey, for those of you out there who are thinking of getting a dog, I got news for you. They bark, you know? That's what dogs do. And so it's really good to teach them when they should bark and when they shouldn't. And it's especially important to teach them that they shouldn't bark when they're left at home alone, because that's something that really annoys the neighbors. And it's a behavior that will get them all worked up, and they will get so worked up that they're going to bark all the more. So let's continue with the whole barking theme again, that once we've taught our dog to woof and shush, we now need to teach the dog when we want it to bark. Yes, I said when we want it to bark, because there's sometimes when it's entirely appropriate and when we don't want it to bark, and times when, hey, it's, you know, the dog make the call. And so for my dogs, if someone steps on my property, all three dogs have to bark. I mean, this is a deal breaker. It's like, if you want to be fed and sleep on a couch, then I want you to bark when someone comes on the property. If somebody walks by the house, I don't want any barking. If a squirrel goes by, yeah, it's a close call. I don't expect, say, Ollie or Dune to bark or that, but old Claude can have three woofs, and then I'll tell him shush. I mean, for him, it's the highlight of his day. Here comes the squirrel again, you know, the 8:15 squirrel coming along the line. So three woofs is okay, and I say, thank you, Claude. Thank you for letting me know it was a squirrel. Now shush. And he's quite happy to shush then. So, you know, we can't say to the dog, you're never going to bark in this town again. There's time when the dog has to bark, and indeed times we want the dog to bark. Once they've been taught woof and shush, we can actually teach them this in one session. And I did this with my two previous dogs, with Oso and Feeny, in a party on a Saturday morning. And the two dogs, and they're entirely different. Like, Phoenix didn't see the point of barking. She was a Malamute, and if you got her to bark, when she learnt on cue, she would go, woof, woof. And that's like it. Is that enough? Oso, on the other hand, loved barking and would bark at anything. People walking by, dogs walking by, squirrels. The fact that a leaf had fallen three blocks away, you know, woo, he's got to tell me about it. So here are my two dogs, and I'm going to teach them, watch people walk by but don't bark. If they step on the property, go ballistic. It's one of the reasons you live with me. And by the way, number of houses on the street have been ripped off. We haven't. We have a very good furry alarm system. It's foolproof, and it works every time. So I had a party. I told everyone, when you come round, I want you to walk by the house a couple of times before you come on the property. And they all thought I was a little silly, but we'd done a number of these dog training parties, you know, for jumping up at the front door and what have you. So first person arrives, and the Oso goes off. Woo! So Oso, shush. Woo! Shush. Woo! Shush. Thank you. It wasn't pretty, but eventually I get him quiet, and the person walks by. I know they're coming back, though. And so as they walk back down the street, I say, Oso, shush, shush. Yes, I know it. Shush. Woo, woo, shush. This was much better, you see, because it's the second exposure to the stimulus, so it's easier to control the dog. And so third pass by, a couple of little woofs. The fourth pass by, though, he was quiet. Oso, shush. I mean, how many times can you get excited and bark at the same person? So the person walks by. We have a clean pass by. I give Oso so many liver treats, he doesn't know what's happened. Then they walk by a fifth time. Oso gets liver treats, and Feeny gets one. A sixth time, the seventh time, the person stepped on my garden path, and the dogs look on in silence, and I say, dog, speak, 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 like it's an emergency. And Oso erupts like, woo, 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 and Phoenix, after a while, like, what, woof, woof. So now the dogs have to bark at the front door. Then we do the front door bit. Good dog sit, good dog shush. So we're going to troubleshoot that as well. People come in, give the dogs treats if they're sitting and shushing. And then I tell the person, we give them a beer, and I tell them if they want the opener, it's outside. So they have to go outside and do the same thing again. So basically we're doing repetitive entry for every guest. This time it's much easier. The dog barks the first time they walk by, not the second or the third or the fourth. The fifth time they walk in, we tell them to bark. With the second guest, the thing's much easier still, and so on and so on. And the dogs learnt this so well that for Oso, this was his daily activity. He would sit looking out the window, straining his neck straining his neck, and basically, wow, you know, I'm dying for you. Step on my path, and I'll go ballistic. It was just wonderful. So anyway, we have a question here I really want to address. It's an important one. This is about medication for separation anxiety. You know, it depends on the individual case. Many of the medications to treat separation anxiety are pretty heavy-duty drugs, and some do have side effects. So, you know, we want to make this decision responsibly. I'm personally not in favor of using a variety of drug cocktails in, like, therapy-based diagnostics, like, let's give the drug and see what happens for suspected separation anxiety. Instead, I would do exactly the opposite. I would strongly suggest management and training for therapy-based diagnostics. I would say, right, long-term, short-term confinement, stuffed chew toys, all food in stuffed chew toys, let's see what happens. And if the observable behavior problems resolve within 3 weeks, I would say, hey, it was unlikely that dog was anxious, and look, we solved the problem. And we obviously didn't require medication. However, if resolution persists after 3 weeks, about a month, yep, it's time to change to plan B. And here, medication would be one option. But I really want to know which medication we're using, which particular sort of anxiolytic drug, and I want to know what is its effect, not just on anxiety, but on barking and on chewing. And I want to see some hard numbers and facts about this. Well, you've been listening to Dr. Ian Dunbar. This is iWoofs. For more information about pet dog training and training problems, check out Dogstar Daily, your source for all things dog. Without a doubt, this is the most entertaining and educational doggy site on the web. You have been listening to Dr. Dunbar's iWoofs, the owner-friendly and dog-friendly dog training show to help you understand dog training from the dog's point of view and to learn what you can learn from your dog. iWoofs is sponsored by Premier Pet Products and by the Kong Company. So it's goodbye from me, Dr. Ian Dunbar. Goodbye from Dune. Goodbye from Claude. And goodbye from Ollie.